honor of the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada upon all of us, upon the whole world, we have assembled in Sri Mayapur Dham, the very center of the lotus of Navadvip. Srila Prabhupada considered Mayapur the center of the universe, because it is from here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the world and established the Yuga Dharma of Prem Sankirtan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his sannyas lila, living in Puri, he invited his devotees from Navadvip Dham and various other sections of Bengal to meet with him every year, especially for the occasion of Sri Ratha Yatra. And generally they would stay for 4 months during Chaturmasya. On the first year that they all were coming, King Prataparudra was on his rooftop asking Sarvabhaumabhata Acharya and Gopinath Acharya, who were both intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, who it was that was coming. Over 300 devotees. King Prataparudra, he explained that each of them was so effulgent with love and devotion. Their dancing was not a dance of this world. It was a manifestation of the love of their hearts. When great devotees dance, the movements of their limbs are like the movements of a puppet. And it is the prema, the love of their hearts, that are pulling the strings and making them dance. You see, a puppet does not do something on his own accord. Puppet moves according to the dictation of a puppeteer. So similarly, when a devotee reaches that state of love of God and dances, it is the ecstasy of love in the heart that moves the limbs like a puppeteer for the pleasure of Krishna. And one who sees such a beautiful offering of devotion is supremely fortunate. The singing of the devotees was not of this world. King Prataparudra told his associates at the time that living here in Puri, I have seen thousands and thousands of kirtans, but nothing is like this. Obviously, Maharaj Prataparudra had heard the most qualified expert singers of ragas, of hymns. But the professional quality of a good voice cannot be compared to what he was hearing on that day, because it was the ecstasy and the purity and the humility of the love of the hearts of each of these devotees that was manifesting through their mouths in the form of the holy names. It was an offering. Krishna is not different than his name. When a devotee chants the name Hare is Sri Radha, the name Krishna is Krishna. Nam Nama Kari Bahut Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Lord has directly appeared within the name. And as we are chanting, we are worshiping that name. We are offering our sincere intent to serve and please the Lord as we're chanting the holy names. We're offering our gratitude and our love to the Lord as we're chanting the holy names. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals himself according to how we surrender. As a devotee goes deeper and deeper into that sweet spirit of sharanagati or surrender, the name manifests himself to greater and greater degrees, to ourselves and also to the world. As these devotees from Navadvip, who are Lord Chaitanya's associates, these are the people who were in the house of Srivas for so many years performing Nam Sankirtan. These are the people who were on the procession to the Chand Kazi's house. These are the people who danced with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the intimate abode of Navadvip for so many years. And they were coming to Puri. And how happy they were. Viparlamba and Sambhoga, separation and union, are inseparable aspects of in the dynamics of love within the school of Prema Bhakti. In separation, our consciousness goes deeper and deeper into the very core of our hearts to find the presence of the Lord. And there we are united. And in union, that love of our hearts comes out through our senses, through our words, through our acts, to express our love for Krishna. Separation increases the sweetness of union. And union increases the sweetness of separation. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this time, he had left Navadvip. And the news came that he became a sannyasi. Vishwarup, his younger brother, had taken sannyas some years before, and no one ever saw him again. They didn't get a single message from him. They only heard from other sources that he was now Shankararanya Maharaj, traveling to holy places. So obviously they consider they will never see Lord Chaitanya again. What was their feelings of separation? To the degree Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them joy by attracting them by his beautiful features of his body, of his character, of his love, to that degree they were experiencing the ecstasy of the pain of separation. On the spiritual level, in love of God, the pain is an ecstasy. The deeper the pain, the deeper the happiness. Does it make sense without the grace of the Lord reconciliating these
these apparently opposing concepts. Because it's not of this world. And because there is no actual separation on this spiritual platform. So separation, the more intense it is, the more we are connected, we are united, we are feeling the presence of the Lord in full. And not only feeling it, experiencing it.
Soon after, Lord Chaitanya came to Shantipur and they met him and he went to Puri. Then they heard he went on a trip to South India for 2 years.
They heard nothing about him for 2 full years.
And then when he returned to Puri, he invited them all to come for the Rath Yatra to join him. As the devotees, it takes several weeks to walk or to dance from Bengal to Puri. Now we take trains, we take planes, we take buses. But it was Shivananda Sen, that great devotee who lived not far from here. He and his family would make all the arrangements for everyone. They were the original organizers of yatras. They would arrange the cooking, the accommodations. They would pay all the different tolls because every couple days, practically, they were going through a different kingdom where there were different rulers and they had to pay different toll taxes. Shivananda Sen took care of everything with his family and assistants so the devotees could just happily chant and dance and feast the whole way. With each step, they were coming closer to reuniting with Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And finally, they came into Jagannath Puri. After so many weeks of walking and dancing together, we cannot imagine the anticipation and the happiness that after so many years, they were going to see the Lord. It was a celebration of kirtan. The imminent reunion was only minutes away. And this is what King Prataparudra was looking down and seeing from his rooftop of the palace. And he told Sarvabhauma and Gopinath, I have seen so many kirtans, but nothing like this. The beauty of their dance, the beauty of their aura, the sweetness of their singing. What is this? And Gopinathacharya Sarvabhauma told, this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring the world. It is not just Sankirtan, it is Prem Sankirtan. The Sankirtan of the ecstasy of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought this Sankirtan movement from his own abode of Goloka. It's the eternal Leela of the residents of Vrindavan to sing the glories of the Lord together. What Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world to give was the opportunity for people to actually enter into the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. That is why sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say, in the bhakti of Lord Chaitanya, the goal
and the means to attain the goal are the same. Someone asks them, what do you hope to gain by chanting Krishna's names? Most people would say liberation, better life. Srila Prabhupada said, but the ultimate goal we hope to gain by chanting the names is to chant the names of Krishna. Now we are chanting to purify ourselves, but the ultimate revelation through this process is we chant with pure love. That is what is taking place forever in Goloka Vrindavan. Navadvip is 9 islands, and each of these islands represents the 9 processes of devotional service. Antardweep, the center island, surrounded by the 8 petals of the others, represents Sharanagati, Atmanivedana, or surrender. And in the very heart of the center of Antardweep is Mayapur. This is where Lord Chaitanya revealed his love to the world. Yesterday we discussed how Lord Chaitanya had gone to East Bengal. Today it is called Bangladesh. He was there for 2 months, giving such joy to all the residents of that place. It was incredible how grateful those people were. Simple people, mostly poor people. And in those days, scholarship was such a vital, important part of life in India. All the students wanted to come to Navadvip, but most, they just didn't have the means. And they wanted to come to Navadvip only for one reason, to be the student of Nimai Pandit. Navadvip Chandra, the very moon of Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya, came to them and freely accepted everyone and anyone. As we explained yesterday, when he did, not long after this, establishes Sankirtan movement, all those people of East Bengal had already surrendered their hearts to him as their teacher. So every single one of them naturally accepted the Sankirtan movement just by hearing about. Millions of people were crying the holy name. Like a baby without its mother, crying. And I see what's happening there. The father is trying to find the mother. He's helpless. It's definitely a mystic power. How a little baby this big, his vocal cords are only this big, how they could disrupt a crowd of 4,000 or 5,000 people, all the way from the back. No microphone or sound system. Even the microphone cannot speak over the sound of that baby's crying. It's very supernatural. It's Krishna. While he was away giving joy to so many, his most beloved eternal consort, Lakshmi Priya, his wife, could not bear the pangs of separation from him.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his mood of Sri Radha, teaches the nature of separation in divine love. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Yugayatam. That means feeling your separation, my Lord, a nimesh. The scriptures describe the nimesh as the amount of time the upper part of your eyelid touches the lower part of your eyelid when you involuntarily blink and don't know you're blinking. See, I see you all blinking. You don't even know you're blinking. But, you know, the eye just goes so fast. Something like 1/12th of a second is the time that that touching, that connection is made. So in that 11th or 12th of a second, without seeing the Lord, he is saying, it is like a yuga. Srila Prabhupada, in order to make it more understandable to common people, he says, a moment seems like 12 years or more. Well, the more means it seems like a yuga. Now, the smallest, shortest of all yugas is Kali, which is about 435,000 years. And Lord Chaitanya was probably speaking about Satya Yuga. That's the nature of love and separation. And Lakshmi is an expansion of Sri Radha. She's the Lord's pleasure potency. While the Lord was in Bangladesh, it was intolerable for her to find any peace for even a fraction of a second. She was totally engrossed in feelings of separation. But she didn't want to cause anybody else any suffering. Especially Sachi Mata, who she was living with practically throughout the whole day in the same house. She only wanted to give happiness to Sachi Devi. So somehow or other she tried to hide the feelings of her heart. She couldn't eat. For all those months she could not eat. She would pretend to eat just to make Sachi Devi happy. And at night, she didn't sleep. She very quietly cried all night long. And although she mechanically performed her duties in the daytime, she silently cried every moment of the day as well. This was the nature of her love. And then she understood. She understood what her purpose was. Because ultimately the devotees, these Nitya Siddha, divine beings who have come with the Lord, they know exactly how to best fulfill the purpose of the Lord within this world. So Lakshmi Devi, she went to the bank of the Ganga. And there, in her heart of hearts, she took her beloved Lord Gauranga into the deepest place of her heart. She embraced his lotus feet with such intimacy of surrender and devotion.
and chanting his holy names, her spiritual body returned to the spiritual world. To reunite with him. And she left an apparent material body on the bank of the Ganges. When Sachi Devi learned about this, her grief was so deep. Soon after, Lord Gauranga happily returned to Navadvipa. And all the gifts that he received from all of these people, and so many of them came with him from East Bengal, he presented them all to Sachi Mata. And when he returned, so many people came to see him, because everybody was missing him. And he was telling so many jokes with them. He was very happy. He went to bathe in the Ganga. He came back. Sachi Mata made a wonderful feast to welcome him home. But she kept her distance, because she saw the Lord was so happy to be back. She was afraid her sorrow may affect him. But he sensed it. And in a secluded place, after people had left, he asked Sachi Mata, "Why are you looking so sad?" And Sachi Mata could not say a word. And the Lord said, "I know, because your beloved daughter-in-law has left us." And then Lord Gauranga looked down, and up in his own love and separation from his consort, he appeared like an ordinary person who had just lost his beloved. Then he told Sachi Mata that, "Please know, her passing from this world is absolutely glorious. Her eternal soul has been taken by Krishna to the highest destination. Lord Chaitanya went back to his activities. And we can understand from this pastime how bhakti is transcendental to everything of this world, but incorporates the relationships of this world on a completely, purely spiritual level. Some philosophers, they say, brahma satyam jagan mitya, that the absolute is truth, brahma, and this entire cosmic manifestation of universes is illusion. In bhakti, we understand that the illusion is not understanding anything's relation with Krishna. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Everything is coming from Krishna. Yes, everything in this material world, its manifestations are temporary. But for a devotee, those manifestations invoke ras, invoke love of Krishna, because they're seeing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And the relationships that we have with each other are based on our love for Krishna. Therefore, there's love for each other. And with full knowledge of the soul, on the appearance or disappearance of the physical body, it's an impetus to experience and feel the ecstasy of the soul in variegated, dynamic ways. Sachimata so deeply wanted her Nimai to have a wife, because he was still only a teenager. There was one lady, her name was Vishnupriya. Sachimata, from Vishnupriya's tiniest little childhood, Sachimata would see her always worshiping the Lord with such love and devotion. Because people would always see each other at the Ganga. That was like the meeting place in Navadvip. So she called Kashinath Mishra, who was a Brahmin, and told Kashinath, there is a great Brahmin named Sanatan Mishra. Make the proposal for my Nimai to marry his daughter, Vishnupriya.
And Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat describes in very beautiful description the marriage of Nimai and Vishnupriya. Budhimanta Khan, Mukunda Sanjay, who were well-to-do people in Navadvip, who loved Nimai. They just loved him dearly. They said, this is not going to be another poor person's marriage. And they donated so much to make it a wonderful marriage. And what made a marriage wonderful in those days for these class of people was not the ornamentation so much. It was how much they could give to the people in general to celebrate. Because you see, in the culture of the Vedic system, the purpose of these ceremonies ultimately is to get blessings. And we get by giving. If we're trying to take, we don't get. But if we're giving, we get. So by giving prasad, by giving gifts, Lord Chaitanya had so much of everything to just give to people. He was giving cloths, he was giving jewels, he was giving prasad, he was giving coconuts, he was giving so many things, and people were lining up, and he was giving, 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 and some people, after taking so much, enough to satisfy anybody, some people secretly got in line again. Then Lord Chaitanya would smile and give it to them, and then he would stash it and secretly get in line again. He would give them anything and everything anybody wanted. He was just giving. And that's how, according to the system of marriage in those days, by these special souls, one gets blessings. So he lived with Vishnupriya and Sachi Devi. And one day, Lord Chaitanya told his mother and his wife, I am going to Gaya to perform the pinda, the special sacred rites for Jagannath Mishra and our departed forefathers. They gave their blessings. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, with a group of his students, they happily started traveling to the holy place of Gaya. As they were traveling, they came to one village. And some of the Brahmins there, who were great devotees of Krishna, there was a deity named Madhusudan there. They didn't really do things properly as far as their worship. And their mannerisms were kind of strange.
So one of Lord Chaitanya's students criticized him. As they were traveling right in the middle of the road, Nimai came down with a very intense fever. He couldn't walk anymore. So the students started getting all sorts of preparations and medicines and everything else, but nothing worked. And they were actually very fearful that he would die. Life is like that in this world. At the least expected moment, a person could just get a fever and die, even after being in excellent health. It happens all the time, even young people. So they were very much worried. They were around Gauranga, and he said, there is only one thing that will cure me. Bring me the water from the feet of a Brahmin devotee, and I will drink that water, and that will be my medicine. And just at that point, that particular Brahmin happened to come, who people made fun of. And Nimai asked for the water from his feet, so he readily washed his feet and gave the water to Nimai, and Nimai drank it and instantly was in perfect health. And his students understood the mistake that they made. What a powerful lesson this was. That we should not judge people by their external appearance, because the Lord sees the heart. The Lord sees the integrity, the motive. He was pleased with their devotion. So who were his students to judge according to their calculations? Among devotees, this is a very, very important consideration. What makes our devotional service important is to the degree it pleases Krishna and Guru. Not according to our calculations. There are many famous stories with Srila Prabhupada. One time, a devotee who was a temple president in America, he was not so strict according to certain people's conceptions of what were expected. So there was like a Brahminical leadership council at this temple. They were all God brothers and God sisters. And they were thinking, this person is doing like this, this, and this. He's not fit to be the president. So they removed him. He was very brokenhearted because he was really honestly trying his best. And sometime later, Srila Prabhupada came. He said, where is... He asked for that devotee. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, he was not doing this, this. They gave him a whole report of his faults. They said, therefore, we have removed him. Now there is a new president we have installed. Srila Prabhupada was not upset with that person. He was upset with all of them. He said, this person has been lovingly trying to serve me. Yes, he may have some mistakes, but I'm very pleased with him by his sincerity and his devotion. I am more pleased with him than all of you put together. Now you put him back as president.
They put him back as president.
Prabhupada put him back as president.
And it was a good lesson. They were analyzing things from their perceptions. But really, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just doing it his own way, in a certain way. But Srila Prabhupada was pleased by his intentions, by his dedication, and by his incredible desire to please his guru. So Srila Prabhupada taught us that it's not just the apparent strictness. We should be as strict as possible. But ultimately, Krishna sees the heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played this pastime where he was actually on the verge of death with a fever. And he took the water that washed the feet of this devotee who his students thought was useless. And that cured him. A great lesson to the whole world. Then he came to Gaya, that beautiful holy city. How many of you have been to Gaya? Please raise your hands. Someday we should do yatra to Gaya. Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya. It's in a very significant place. According to Das Avatar and Srimad Bhagavatam, Buddha is an incarnation of Vishnu. Buddha attained enlightenment in Gaya. There's a section called Bodh Gaya. And besides Kalki, who comes a little later, the other incarnation in this age of Kali is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took initiation and manifest his enlightened state in Gaya. Very special place. He went to the temple of Vishnu, Gadadhar, the beautiful chakra on the top. And when Lord Chaitanya entered into the temple, he saw there the deity was the deity of the lotus feet of Vishnu, who has been worshipped there since time immemorial. Around the feet of the Lord were, because the Lord actually had stayed there and left those footprints there long, long ago, there were beautiful flower garlands, handmade natural incenses. There was ornaments and jewels, and there was fine, fragrant oils. And there were many, many Brahmin devotees who were chanting the glories of the feet of Lord Vishnu. This experience moved Lord Chaitanya so deeply. The Brahmins were singing that these, they were singing to the feet of the Lord, that these feet of Lord Narayan are always held to the heart of Lord Shiva. They are the very life and soul of Lakshmi Devi. In total surrender, Bali Maharaj placed these feet on top of his head. These lotus feet are the very source, the father of the mother Ganga,
Because Ganga Devi has touched these feet, she has the power to liberate and purify the whole world. And anyone who sincerely meditates on these feet, Yamaraj will never come close to that person. Ananta Shesha keeps these lotus feet on top of his hoods, and it gives him the power to sustain the whole creation. And anyone who takes shelter of these lotus feet will be bestowed not only liberation from suffering, but love for the Lord. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gazing upon the feet of the Lord and hearing these beautiful prayers of devotion, in that atmosphere, for the first time, in his manifested lila, he openly revealed his prema bhakti. Torrents of tears flooded from his eyes. His hair stood on end and his body trembled. It appeared that the Ganga and the Yamuna were both manifesting through his beautiful lotus-like eyes. At that moment, Ishwarapuri entered into the temple room. And he saw Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Gauranga saw him. Lord Gauranga approached Ishwarapuri, and Ishwarapuri embraced the Lord. Sri Gauranga said, "Now the very purpose of my pilgrimage to Gaya has been fulfilled, because I am seeing such a great exalted lover of Krishna as Ishwarapuri. By performing all these rituals, all these ceremonies, all these practices like Pinda, Shraddha," he said, "we can deliver the particular person we are doing it for. But just by seeing a devotee like Ishwarapuri, millions and millions of our ancestors will be liberated." And then with great emotion, Lord Chaitanya said to Ishwarapuri, "I offer my body, my mind, my words, my life to you. I am yours." And Ishwarapuri, he said, "I had a dream last night where you revealed yourself to me. Actually, ever since I first saw you in Navadvip, I can't stop thinking about you. 24 hours a day, I'm only thinking about you. And when I think about you, the same love that I have for Krishna awakens in my heart. It is for sure, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has incarnated within this world for the welfare of all living beings. The very perfection of my life is to see you." And Lord Chaitanya, he just, with folded palms, he said, "I accept you as my guru. You are my life and soul. I offer everything to you. Let me be your servant." In this way they embraced. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, as they embraced, they were so incited with the ecstasy of love by each other's association that they both literally bathed each other with their tears of affection. Then Lord Gauranga began to perform all the rituals for Gaya. He went to the different mukundas and the different tirthas to perform the different services. And after he completed, he went back to the temple of Vishnu, offered his prayers, then went to the room he was staying and personally cooked prasad for himself. Can you imagine food cooked by Lord Chaitanya himself? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. It's Radharani cooking for Krishna. And just when he was just cooking for himself, just when he completed cooking, Ishwarapuri came into the house. And Lord Chaitanya invited him in. Ishwarapuri said, "It seems like I've come just at the right time. You just finished cooking." And Nimai said, "Yes, I have been cooking, and you please take this prasad." Ishwarapuri said, "But this is your prasad." He said, no, it is your prasad." Ishwarapuri said, "No, you must eat this prasad. This is your prasad." Lord Chaitanya said, "You please eat this prasad. That will be my greatest fortune, my greatest honor, my greatest blessing for you to accept this prasad." Ishwarapuri said, "We can divide it in half and take together." Nimai said, "You take everything. It will only take me a few minutes. I'll cook again after you leave." Ishwarapuri sat down. Nimai insisted so much. And Nimai, with his own loving hands, served his guru. What an incredible pastime this is. Our acharyas give their commentaries how the Lord is bhaktavatsal. He is very, very kind and loving to his devotees. Jayatamam prabhajyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. In the Gita, Krishna says, all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reciprocate and reveal myself accordingly. And in this incident, the commentary of this verse is, this means that the Lord is conquered, defeated, and subordinate to the love of his devotee. According to our love, the Lord surrenders. According to our surrender to the Lord with love, the Lord surrenders to our love. We have spoken about the devotion of Ishwarapuri. He had no false pride. In his service to his guru, even though he was a sannyasi, he was a powerful learned scholar, he served his guru with such simplicity. When his guru was on his deathbed, for months and months and months at a time, he was cleaning his body. He was offering very simple physical services. He never complained. In fact, in his heart, there was just nowhere else in the world he would rather be. There was no higher blessing than performing this service. And for the pleasure of his guru, he was constantly chanting the names and glories of Krishna. You cannot demand blessings. But in India, it's a very common thing. Give me blessings. There's many famous stories of how Prabhupada taught us lessons for that. One devotee who was Prabhupada's servant for some years, he told me a story. He was in a train with Srila Prabhupada. And this Prabhupada was just coming on the train And he was walking to his little compartment, and this man was saying, "Swamiji, give me blessings, give me blessings." And Prabhupada was just like, walked by. And the man kept following, "Give me blessings, give me blessings." And he was just bothering Srila Prabhupada. He's demanding. And he walked right into Prabhupada's compartment. He said, "Swamiji, give me blessings, give me blessings." Srila Prabhupada said, "I bless you that your material life is finished." He fell to the ground. And he got up and said, "Swamiji, not that blessing, not that blessing. I want another blessing." Prabhupada said, "That is my only blessing." It was a good blessing. You see, when you serve nicely, then when a great soul, when a sadhu is pleased with you, then naturally, through that sadhu's heart, Krishna, who's so pleased that you have pleased his devotee, all blessings come. Krishna is Varada. He's the ultimate giver of all blessings. Great personalities give Krishna's blessing. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be pleased with people, he would give them the blessing, "May you always remember Krishna." He's giving them Krishna. Because Ishwara Puri pleased his guru so much, Madhavendra Puri, from his heart sprang so much gratitude and happiness for his service attitude, and how he was always chanting Krishna's names with that service attitude, that Madhavendra Puri, from his heart sprang the words, "May you be a lover of Krishna." That was all. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show the world that the ultimate perfection we could aspire for is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, chose Ishwara Puri to be his guru. The Lord is the supreme absolute truth, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. But he's giving his own meal to his devotee. Great devotees all over the creation and beyond are cooking for Krishna and offering it to Krishna. And here Krishna is cooking and offering it to his devotee. Not only cooking and offering it to his devotees, but skipping his own lunch with great happiness. And he cleaned for his guru. Shortly after that, in a secluded place, Lord Chaitanya told Ishwara Puri that, "I am begging you, please, to give me diksha. Initiate me in a holy mantra. I surrender to you." Ishwara Puri said, "You are asking me to initiate you? You are the Supreme Lord. I'm your devotee. It is I who totally surrender my life to you. But if this is the way you want me to surrender to you, then I will give you initiation." Ishwara Puri gave Lord Chaitanya a ten-syllable mantra. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this mantra from Ishwara Puri, He fell at the feet of his guru. He bathed his guru's feet with his tears. Ishwara Puri lifted him up and embraced him. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Now my body and my life belong to you." And later on in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami shares with us how his guru Ishwara Puri gave him this Hare Krishna mantra and gave him a verse to meditate upon. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. And Lord Chaitanya started chanting. This was in Gaya. And as he was chanting, he was becoming mad in ecstasy. And the next day he came back to his guru and said, "I don't know what this mantra is doing to me. It seems like it's driving me mad. As I'm chanting, my limbs are trembling, my hairs are standing on end, my eyes are pouring tears. Can you tell me what's happening to me?" And Ishwara Puri said, "My son, I congratulate you. You have attained the perfection of life. Now you take this Maha Mantra, you take the holy name of Krishna, and you share it with the whole world." And Lord Chaitanya, he didn't preach the glories of the holy name openly, except privately to Tapan Mishra, until he received the order of his guru. It's very interesting. Nityananda Prabhu, when we're in Ekachakra, we will discuss this principle. He left home when he was 12 years old, and he traveled to holy places, some say for about 20 years, and he never preached. He never preached Nam Sankirtan. He's Balaram. He descended for that purpose only. Until he came here to Navadvip and received the order from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur that go house to house, person to person, shop to shop, bathing ghat to bathing ghat, give everyone this message. Worship Krishna. Chant the name of Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna's your mother, your father, your real treasure, and your very life. Chant the name of Krishna. And if you do so, you will be my life and soul. Nityananda Prabhu, until Mahaprabhu gave him this order, he did not preach. Lord Chaitanya, until he got the order from his guru, he did not establish. This is so important. We were discussing in the previous days the incredible glory of Navadvip as the high seat of learning for the whole world. And how Nimai Pandit was the undisputed, unparalleled, greatest, most celebrated scholar in all of Navadvip. This was considered the very, very perfection of religion, according to the people here, is to be an undefeatable scholar. Nimai, although he was still a teenager, he was approaching people who were professors of the highest level of scholarship for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And he would say, "Ask me a question." And they'd ask him a question, he would answer it. And he'd say, "Try to defeat my answer." And with all of the power of their scriptural knowledge and all of their logic and all of their experience, sometimes in front of all their students, they would have an incredibly comprehensive refutation to Lord Chaitanya's question. And then Lord Chaitanya would very effortlessly defeat it. Then they surrendered. And then Lord Chaitanya would defeat what he would just defeat and establish their premise, principle. And then he'd say, can you reestablish my principle? He'd say, no, it's impossible. And then he would reestablish his principle. He could do that all day and never repeat the same idea twice. It was beyond human. And ultimately, as we discussed yesterday, the Digvijay Pandit, the world champion devotee of Saraswati, was defeated by Lord Chaitanya. So he had established himself, and of everyone in Navadvip now, he had the most followers. Thousands and thousands and thousands of students every time he spoke. But he wanted to show that the real goal of all the scriptures, the real purpose of life, can only be received by the grace of the Lord and his devotees. There is no other way. To improve our material conditions, even to the level of elevation to the heavenly planets, it can be done by our own efforts, by our own sacrifices. Attaining mystical, supernatural cities, the yogic perfections, even that could be had by our efforts. And liberation through discrimination of jnana yoga of not this, not this, not this, neti, 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 neti. Liberation is accessible. But prema bhakti, impossible to come near without blessings, without grace. Because pure bhakti is given. It cannot be attained. And it is given in reciprocation to the sincerity of our devotion. Bhaktyatvana niyashakya aham evam vidurjana. Krishna tells in Gita, it is only by undivided devotion that I can be seen as I am. And in this age of Kali, this bhakti is awakened through the chanting of the holy names. But even we cannot chant the holy names with that level to awaken love without grace. Our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada's title is His Divine Grace. That means he is giving the world Lord Chaitanya's grace and Lord Nityananda's grace, Radha Gopinath's grace. What a striking lesson. He became the greatest of the scholar and never manifested love of God. But when he humbly served the pure devotee, Ishwarapuri, and received his blessings, then he manifested prema bhakti. Grace is the most powerful of all energies.
Sri Radha is Krishna's Ladini Shakti. She is the power of his compassion, the power of love, the power of forgiveness, and especially the power of grace. That grace alone can completely cleanse us of our envy, our anger, our lust, our greed, our arrogance, and our illusion. That grace can awaken the love that is dormant within our hearts. Therefore, as devotees, we are simply seeking that grace. And Lord Chaitanya teaches us, Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we really want to access that grace when we're chanting the holy names, we should aspire to be humble like a blade of grass, forbearing, tolerant like a tree, happy and eager to offer all respect to others without expecting or demanding it ourselves. In this spirit, we can easily access that grace. In other words, when Krishna is pleased with us, he bestows that grace upon us. Srila Prabhupada says pure devotional service is very rare. Because when Krishna gives pure devotional service, Krishna gives himself. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Krishna puts himself subordinate to the love of his devotee. So he doesn't give it easy. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kotishvapi mahamuni. Liberation from suffering, mukti, is not that rare. The mystical siddhis are not that rare. And to us, they seem quite rare, but they're not. But pure devotional service is very rare because it's the only thing that brings true satisfaction to the soul, to the heart. And Prabhupada says Krishna easily gives that if we are sincere, serious in our service attitude, and we have no ulterior motives. When we have that spirit and we deeply appreciate the devotion of other devotees, Krishna's pleased. And then he showers his grace as we cry out his holy name. After surrendering to his guru, Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya went back to his place and was constantly chanting Krishna's names. And as he was chanting, these feelings of love and separation were awakening his heart so deeply, he started crying out, "Where is Krishna? Oh Krishna, how can I live a moment without you? Where have you gone? Where will I find you?" And his students didn't know what to do. They never saw their teacher like this. In the middle of the night, without saying anything to everyone, Lord Chaitanya said, "If I don't find you, Krishna, I cannot live. You are the Lord of Mathura, of Vrindavan. I'm coming." And he left and started running through the night from Gaya. He was running through towns and villages and forests to Vrindavan. There was no question of rest. He was seeking Krishna in separation.
And then a divine voice came from the sky. It was the devas. They said, "Oh my Lord, you are the source of everything that exists. You are our master and our father. Please do not go to Mathura now. Go later. Because you have descended into this world especially to establish the Sankirtan movement. And through establishing the Sankirtan movement, by spreading prema bhakti, love of God, all over the world. So please go back to Navadvipa and show this greatest compassion to all living beings. And then at another time you go to Vrindavan and Mathura. We are your servants. So we are speaking just to remind you of your purpose." When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he smiled and returned to Navadvipa. When he came back to Navadvipa, Sachi Mata Vishnupriya celebrated in their hearts, "Our beloved is home." And nobody ever saw Nimai like this. Usually whoever he would meet, he would challenge them in some sort of scholarly, logical debate. But now, he was crying out Krishna's names. Where is Krishna? Every word of his mouth practically was the name of Krishna. And there were a couple devotees who were present there. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Tomorrow, at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari, I want to reveal my heart to everyone." Early the next morning, many devotees would gather at Srivas Pandit's house. Because he had a special vine. It was a spiritual bush that was always full with fragrance flowers. And however many they picked from it, it was still always full with flowers. And however many devotees came, there was flowers for everybody. And all the devotees had their pujas, so they would gather together and they would discuss Krishna together and sing Krishna's names together as they were plucking flowers. Such a simple thing. These are the greatest rishis, the greatest sages. Srivas Thakur's Narada Muni, Advaitacharya's Mahavishnu, Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani, Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. These are very powerful persons. But here they are just plucking flowers. Simple. And Sriman Pandit, he said, he was smiling really blissfully. And Srivas said, "Sriman, today you are full of smiles. Please tell us why you are so full of smiles." And Sriman Pandit was smiling so much he could hardly talk. He said, my smile has very good reason. They were very eager to hear. He said, "Everything we've been praying for, everything we've been longing for, has been fulfilled." They were saying, "What? What is it? What is it?" He said, "Nimai, who was always so arrogant with his logical arguments, who we came together every day to pray to Krishna, please make Nimai a devotee. Now, since he's come back from Gaya and received the blessings of Ishwarapuri, he only talks about Krishna. He's crying for Krishna. I have never, ever seen anyone with such love for Krishna. The symptoms of his devotions are beyond human imagination.
he has become the very best of all devotees. And he wants to meet us all at Suklambar Brahmachari's house this morning. When the devotees heard this, their hearts burst, exploded with happiness. They raised their arms and cried out, Hariva! And Srivas, he spoke with such feeling, let our family increase. Because this is the happiness of a devotee. These devotees, they had each other, they had ecstatic love, they had everything. But they were feeling so much suffering for everyone else. Ultimately, everyone is in the family of Krishna. Krishna, aham bija pratapita. Krishna says, I am the father and mother of every living being. But when people forget their relationship with Krishna, they forget who their family is. Srivas was praying, our greatest joy is to see our family increase, to see all living beings happy. I remember one time I was listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada giving a lecture for a marriage ceremony. And I think it was Hayagriva Prabhu and Shamadasi. And sometimes the way brahmacharis were trained by certain types of leaders was that marriage is a deep, dark well. And the perfection of marriage is that you suffer so bad you never want to do it again. So we were thinking, brahmachari life is so nice. So I was hearing those kind of lessons. But then Srila Prabhupada, he quoted one beautiful little Sanskrit verse, which meant, may all beings be happy. And he said, the purpose of marriage is to be happy. I was thinking, there it is. Of course, the purpose of brahmachari is to be happy too. The purpose of sannyas is to be happy. The purpose of everything in Krishna consciousness is to be happy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just lived across the Jalangi River, a few minutes from here in Godrum Dweep. He had 10 children, and his wife, Bhagavati, was as saintly as he was. And even Gaurakishore Das Babaji and the greatest renunciants would come to get his blessings and to hear him speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang in one song, he was quoting Lord Chaitanya. Grihe tako, vane tako, satahadi pole tako, suke duke bulo nako, padne hari nam korore, gai gora madhusware, gai gora madhusware. This is Lord Chaitanya's message. If you're a grihastha, a married person, or if you're a sannyasi living in the forest, doesn't make any difference. Just take the name of Krishna. And you'll be free from all the happiness and distress of this temporary world because you will taste param drisvani vartate, the higher taste of Krishna. To taste Krishna's love and to love Krishna. Srivas Thakur was a grihastha. Advaitacharya was a grihastha. Later on, Nityananda Prabhu would be a grihastha. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a grihastha. Budhimanta Khan was a grihastha. Ramananda Rai was a grihastha. Shivananda Sen was a grihastha.
Vasudev Dutt was a grihastha. So many grihasthas. What was their what was the glory of their devotion?
And then we have Haridas Thakur was a renunciate. Gadadhar Pandit was a brahmachari. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they were sannyasis. Swarup Damodar Goswami was sannyasi. So we find in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, during his Navadvip Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the greatest ecstasies of love of God and distributing it to the world as a grihastha. And in Puri, he was doing the same thing as a sannyasi. And in all cases, it's the heart's greatest happiness for a devotee when we see our family increasing. This simple statement of Srivas Thakur means so much. It means paradukatuki, that our happiness is in other people's happiness. If we're actually tasting what real devotion is, we don't want to just keep it for ourselves to look better than others. This is a very neophyte condition that every conditioned soul is prone to. We want to be the best in this world. We want to be better than others. So we take to Krishna consciousness, and that same material conditioning kind of is there. I want to be the best book distributor. I want to be the best preacher. I want to be the best kirtan singer. I want to be the best cook. I want to be the best pujari. At least better than that person and that person, especially people around me. That's a very neophyte state. As we make advancement, our greatest happiness is we want to see others be best. We want to see others be blessed, empowered. We want to see our family happy with Krishna consciousness. It's very sad when, to feel important, we have a need to see other people having difficulties. If other people are having difficulties, then that gives me some special importance. But when we're having difficulties, of course, we should try to resolve our own. But our happiness should be seeing other people flourishing, other people prospering, other people being empowered and blessed. And by being able to appreciate others' good fortune, that pleases Krishna so much, his grace showers upon you. If somebody does something wonderful in Krishna consciousness, if we're envious, or if we're depressed seeing it, Krishna looks at us with pity. But even if we can't do it, if we're happy to see somebody else doing it, Krishna is so pleased with us. He may bless us more than he's blessing the person doing it. Appreciation of devotional service, appreciation of others' good fortune is the heart, is very much integral in the heart of bhakti. Let our family increase. Let everyone go beyond the sufferings and pleasures of this material existence and taste the sweetness of Krishna. Let the whole world come together as a family to chant the holy name. That day they all eagerly went to Suklambar Brahmachari's house. He had just a little thatched hut on the bank of the Ganga. But that simple little abode of this little Brahmachari, unknown beggar, is where Lord Chaitanya wanted to reveal his heart to all the devotees.
And when they all came, Lord Chaitanya, he was telling, on my way from Gaya, I was in a beautiful place, Kanai Natashala. And there I saw Shamsundar, Krishna, who had a beautiful complexion like a deep monsoon rain cloud, who had a peacock feather on his hair, who was wearing the Vajayanti long garland that's extended below his knees with various fragrant forest flowers. He had a dress that was bright like lightning, his eyes like lotus petals, playing upon his flute. Krishna called for me. My whole life I have been bereft of Krishna. And now Krishna is revealing himself for me and calling for me. And I ran to him. He disappeared. Lord Chaitanya caught a pillar in the house of Suklambar and fell on it and began weeping, torrents of tears. Where is my Krishna? Where is my Govinda? Where is my Gopal? Where is my Vanamali? Devotees seeing this were speechless. They had never seen such love as Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting. And they knew he had come, he had descended to spread that love to the world. Gadadhar Pandit was hiding in a little distant place in the house, and when he saw Lord Chaitanya in this saint, in this state, he was so happy, he just cried out and fell to the ground. And Nimai ran up to Gadadhar Pandit and said, "You are so fortunate. From your..." He said, "I am so unfortunate. All of my life..." He said, "I have wasted my time in my pursuit of mundane knowledge and followers. And finally, after all these years, by his infinite causeless mercy, Krishna appeared to me." And then he left. "But you, Gadadhar, ever since your birth and every day of your life, you have had no inclination or interest in anything of this world." Your only desire is to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to chant Krishna's names. You are so fortunate, and I am so unfortunate. This was the humility that Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting. And the devotees' hearts completely melted. Gangadas Pandit called for Lord Chaitanya because he was away for some time. Gangadas Pandit is his teacher. He said, "Nimai, you've been away for some time. Now you should start teaching your students again. They've been waiting without you. They are so attached to you as their teacher, they can't even pick up their books and open it unless you're there." So all the students came. Nimai was in the courtyard to teach them. And everything he spoke about grammar and logic was describing Krishna's glory, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's love. The students were really bewildered. Lord Chaitanya went into a trance just speaking like this, and then he came out and said, "What did I say?" They said, "We don't know what you said. We've never heard anything like this before. All you do is talk about Krishna." So they went and told Gangadas Pandit, "This is what's happening." Gangadas Pandit called Lord Chaitanya again. Gangadas Pandit said, "I'm a devotee of Krishna. But still, you know, we have our job, we have our service to the society as teachers. Don't you think your father, Jagannath Mishra, was a great devotee of Krishna? And your grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti? They were great, great devotees of Krishna, but still, they taught their lessons properly. This is your dharma. Teach according to the school of Nyaya and grammar and like that, like you used to teach, and do it for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I will, my dear teacher. And he took the dust from Ganga Das Pandit's head, I mean feet, and put it on his head. Then he went back and started teaching just like he used to before he went to Gaya. He was presenting so many different logical puzzles for them to answer, and then he would answer them himself, and he would say, let me see the Bhattacharya, the Chakravarti, or the Mishra who could break to pieces my argument. Otherwise, if they can't, what right do they have to be teaching in Navadvip? They are all... He said, they don't even properly know the Sanskrit language. And the teachers were all excited. I mean, students were all excited again. He was teaching. And nearby was the house of one Ratnagarbha Acharya, who is a great devotee of Krishna. And he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he recited one particular verse from the 10th canto. In this verse, the wives of the Brahmins are being asked by the cowherd boys to bring prasad to Krishna and Balaram. So they literally left their houses, similar to the gopis, even though their families were saying, stay here, you must stay here, your duties are here. They renounced everything. And with all the bhoga, the food of their houses they were bringing on their heads and their arms, they came to bring it to Krishna. Please understand the nature of these Brahmins' wives. Fearlessly. They were fearless of social criticism. They were fearless of losing all the material assets of their lives and all their securities. And all they wanted was to serve Krishna and please Krishna. In that mood, they entered into the forest of Vrindavan, and in a clearing, they saw the beautiful form of Govinda. Ratnagarbha Acharya was chanting this verse, how Lord Krishna was standing so sweetly. One of his hands was on the shoulder of a cowherd boyfriend. The other hand was holding a lotus flower. He had two beautiful, beautiful flowers over his ears. And he had a long, long forest flower garland around his neck. His beautiful complexion, his wonderful features, completely enchanted the hearts of the Brahmins' wives. In the heart of their hearts, they took this beautiful form of Krishna into their eyes, and through their eyes installed him on the altar of their hearts and embraced him. And Krishna, from within their hearts, embraced them. When Lord Chaitanya heard this description, he started crying incessantly. And he said to Ratnagarbha, say it again, say it again. Ratnagarbha saw Lord Chaitanya. He was dancing. He was crying. All of his limbs were having all sorts of transformations. Nobody had ever seen this. The students were watching like this. What's happening to our teacher? And Nimai was saying, say it, say it. And Ratnagarbha Acharya, sing. He had never had such a receptive audience as this.
with even more enthusiasm and more affection, he recited the verse, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing, he was crying, he was, say it, for hours. Ratnagarbhacharya kept repeating the same verse, and Lord Chaitanya was celebrating that verse. Finally, Gadadhar Pandit came and said, stop reciting it. And Lord Chaitanya came back to his external consciousness. And he said, what was my lesson like today? And the student said, we'll have to tell you another time. So the next day, they all met at the river Ganga and they took their baths and then they sat down for their lessons. And Lord Chaitanya asked, is there any questions? And one of the students said, please tell us about verbal roots. And Lord Chaitanya, verbal roots. This is a very important part of Sanskrit grammar. Because a verb means action. And verbal root, from Lord Chaitanya's perception now, was the very root, the very source of action. He said, Krishna is the verbal root. He said, whatever activates the body to see, to hear, to touch, to speak, to think, it's the soul, the Atma. The Atma is the root of all consciousness, the root of all action. And the Atma only has this power because it's part and parcel of Krishna. He said, he was so enthusiastic. Let us take an example of a king. A king is eating fine meals. He's living in a big palace. He's wearing all sorts of nice ornaments and clothes. He has a big kingdom and armies. But when his soul leaves his body, what do they do with his body? They either burn it or they bury it. The body has no meaning. The body cannot do anything. It is the soul that is the doer. He said, the only reason why we love somebody is because of the presence of the Atma, the soul. And why do we love the soul? Because it's part and parcel of Krishna, the supreme soul, the ultimate object of all love. Krishna is the object of everyone's love. And we only love other people because they're a part of Krishna. In illusion, we're thinking we're loving their body and we're loving their mind and we're loving their mundane personality. We may embrace our Father. We may speak so many sweet exchanges with our Father. But when the soul leaves the body of the Father, the same Son puts the fire to the body of the Father. Please understand, the root of all action, the root of all love is the Atma, is Krishna. All living beings are part of Krishna. Therefore, the root of all action, the root of all that exists for the whole manifestation of creation is Krishna. So let us chant the names of Krishna. Let us worship Krishna. Let us love Krishna. The students are listening. Then Lord Chaitanya came out of his trance of love and said, please tell me, what was my lesson like today? The students said, Nimai, we can't understand what you're saying, but we know one thing for sure, that whatever you say is true and whatever you say is correct. But we don't understand what it is. He said, well, what did I say? He said, we asked you about verbal roots and you just talked about Krishna and chanting Krishna's names, how Krishna's everything, the ultimate object of everyone's love, the ultimate lover. It's all Krishna. And yesterday, when you heard Ratnagarbhacharya speaking this verse from the Bhagavatam, we never saw anything like this. The Ganges was pouring with waves from your eyes and tears, and you were rolling on the ground, and you were jumping in the air, and you were dancing. Lord Chaitanya said, well, why didn't you stop me and correct me? They said, because whatever you're saying is true. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I have to tell you now honestly. This beautiful little cowherd boy, Gopal, has completely captured my heart. I cannot think of anything but Gopal. I cannot speak of anyone except Govinda. I'm unable to teach grammar anymore. So with my whole heart blessings, I give you permission to go and find any other teacher you want, but I can no longer teach. And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, this will be our last lesson. And then he tied up his books after closing it. And all the students, they said, after having a teacher like you, Nimai Pandit, how can we ever, ever consider having anyone else as a teacher? If you don't want grammar anymore, neither do we. And they all tied up their books and closed them. They said, you're only talking about this Krishna. Please tell us how we can understand and realize Krishna. How are we supposed to chant the names of Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya, he taught them that in this age of Kali, the greatest supreme benediction upon all of us is the name of God. God is not different than his name. Wherever you are, whether you're eating or whether you're sleeping or whether you're studying or whether you're working or whether you're walking, always chant the names of Krishna. And come together. Clap your hands, play instruments, sit, dance, but always chant the names of Krishna. Krishna's all beautiful. Krishna's the ultimate object of our love. Our only true happiness is when we're reunited with our beloved. And I will teach you a nice song that you could sing together. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. All the boys, so many boys, they made a circle around Nimai. And Nimai was dancing and singing, and all the boys were singing with them. It was such a tumultuous sound. Please understand. Right out in the open on the bank of the Ganga in public, the loud, resounding chanting of the Maha Mantra in the names of Krishna by all these children. And suddenly, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people from all over Navadvipa were wondering, what's happening? What's going on? And they all converged in this place. And there they saw Nimai Pandit. This scholarly, he was ultimately grave, but he was also very mischievous. But they never saw him like this. And so many others, and the devotees heard this. This was extraordinary. So many of the devotees came running to the site. The fulfillment of all their prayers and wishes. That Gauranga was publicly establishing Nam Sankirtan. And just see his influence. This is how the Sankirtan movement began in Navadvip. With a group of his former grammar students who loved him so dearly that instantly upon his transformation they became pure ecstatic devotees chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya was so humble. Whenever he was in the association of the devotees, he loved to serve them. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he would see his devotees at the Ganga, he would ask them for their clothes, all their clothes, and would personally wash them. Now, it's not that he just threw them in a machine and pressed a button. Every single individual piece of clothes, he would very lovingly, carefully wash them, and then he would hang them up to dry them, and then he would meticulously fold them, and then carry them back to their houses for them. He was doing this every day. And the devotees, this is Nimai Pandit, the greatest conquering scholar in the world, they were saying, Nimai, no, you shouldn't do this. He would say, no, no, I am your servant. I am your servant. It was his greatest joy to do the most menial servants for his devotees. They would take their bath, and he would come running with some tilak. And he'd, you know, mix the tilak and say, here, please put on the tilak. They would go to the Ganga and he would bring a little sitting place for them to sit. If he saw a devotee who had just purchased something from the market and they were bringing it home, he would insist, let me carry it for you. This is how Gauranga, who is the Supreme Lord, who took the role of a devotee to teach the world what it means to be a devotee. To be the servant of the servant of the servant, and in this spirit, to not only chant but to induce others to chant very loudly the holy name.
Tomorrow we will discuss the kirtan of Lord Gauranga in the house of Srivas. And the most intimate revelation of the Satprahariya or Mahaprakash Lila, where the Lord revealed His supreme divine personality to each of His devotees according to their love. So please come tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Navadvip Dham ki jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda ki jai. Thank you very much.